Hallelujah. Come on, let's clap our hands. Let's clap our hands. Hallelujah. 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 Turn to your neighbor and say, it's your breath. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why we are here. That's why we live and have our being. Amen. 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 I know you've been worshiping for some 30 minutes now, so you may be seated for a little bit. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those who are in the children's church, we will be having a children's church for the ages that are on the notice board. So Sister Melissa will be emceeing that, or not emceeing that, but leading that, I should say. But today we want to leave here with a word. And amen. You know, it's a scary thing to come up here before you. I know you see me do it all the time and every Sunday, but I take it very seriously to come before you and present God's word. And so you pray for me today that the food I have prepared will feed you. Amen. Amen. And the title for this message is kind of strange, and you might not get it until we get right into the message. As we go along, it may come to you. But it's called The Missing Thing. The Missing Thing. And my text is taken from Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. And this is a story of a young man who had everything going for him. And I'm going to, if you want to stand, that's fine. If you want to sit, I know you've been standing a long time. We'll certainly stand for the prayer. But Mark chapter 10 and verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing," let's say it, "one thing, one thing, one thing you're lacking. One thing. Go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy cross, and follow me." Father, we just ask right now, Lord, that you anoint the words, that it will minister to the hearers. Lord, bless, O God, the word that you have spoken. Let it feed our soul. Let it edify us. Let it move us. We thank you right now in Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, "One thing." Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to be speaking a little bit slow because Brother Longori, Brother Tony is translating. So if I'm going slow, it's not because I'm too tired. It's because I want to make sure every word is said correctly. Amen. Now, this particular story is strange. It's one of the few stories that are found in three of the Gospels. Sometimes you find a parable in one that's not in another. But this story is found in Matthew. It's found in Mark. It's found in Luke. Those three are called the Synoptic Gospels. And in each telling of the story, we learn something a little bit new, a little bit different about this young man. Of course, Matthew is the one that lets us know he was a young man, which was strange, because in Luke it tells us he was a ruler, which was strange. It tells us he was a leader in the community, even though he was young. Luke also tells us that he was not just rich, but very rich. In Mark, it tells us that he had many possessions. So when you look at this story from the three Gospels, you see a person who seemingly has it all together. He's got riches. He's got possessions. He's young. Not only that, he could go to Jesus and he could say, I've got the law. I've got this down pat. I've been following the law from I was a youth. And yet with seemingly everything going for him, Jesus looked at him and said, one thing you lack. One thing you lack. One thing you lack. It's amazing that for the one thing he lacked, you know how the story ends, how he went away sorrowful. He had everything that life has to offer. He had youth. He had status. He had wealth. But one thing was lacking. One thing was lacking. He had possessions. But he must have known in himself there was something lacking. Because the Bible tells us that he came running. He didn't hesitate. The Bible says he came running to Jesus. Most of us know when there's something missing, when there's something wrong. This young man knew there was something wrong. He knew there was something in his life that was missing. And he came running, it says, to Jesus. And he had some appreciation of who Jesus was, because even though he was a ruler, the Bible said he kneeled at his feet. He did not lack humility. He came running. He had everything, but he came and kneeled at his feet. But he came for a purpose. It wasn't that he needed money, didn't need wealth, but he came for a purpose. There was something that he came to ask Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16, it says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master. Now, I want you to listen to this telling in Matthew, because it's in all three Gospels, but Matthew brings out some little point here. Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? I hope you notice how he phrased it. What good thing shall I do? He had done all the good things he thought he was supposed to do. He had kept the law. He had kept the commandments. He honored his father and his mother. He came to church. He paid his offering. He paid his tithes. But he knew there was still something that was missing. There was still something in his life that wasn't filling the gap. And he knew that Jesus had the answer. He came running. He came in humility. He kneeled down. He knew there was an answer to be had. But he thought that he had the ability to fulfill the thing that was missing. He said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He didn't understand that there is no good thing that any of us can do to get the thing that is missing. Hallelujah. It wasn't about him doing a good thing. He had done all the good things that the law commanded, that the law required. Jesus did not say, no, you've been messing up. But he said, one thing you're still lacking. It tells us that it's not about works. It's not about what we can do to get that thing that satisfies, that fills that gap that is necessary for salvation. As I said, he had status. He had wealth. He had youth. He had possessions. But something was still missing. You know, before I go on in that story, I want to go back into the Old Testament, because there was a similar young man who also had wealth, greatness, and power. In fact, he had been made the king, and that was Solomon. He had wealth also beyond imagination. The Bible says that they never used silver. They threw away silver in his household like paper plates. They only ate on gold plates. He had worldly pleasure. He had women aplenty. The Bible said he had 900 mistresses, if you want to put it that way. 900. But yet he too realized there was something missing. Near the end of his life, in Ecclesiastes, he writes this in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2. He says, vanity of vanities. And what that word really means is meaningless. There is no meaning, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. Everything is meaningless. He had had everything. He had tried everything. He had had wealth. He had had status. He was the richest. He was the smartest. He was the wisest. But still, something was missing. All is vanity. It's all meaningless. Jumping down to chapter 1, verse 14, he says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. And behold, it just seems meaningless and a vexation of spirit. You know, it's not about wealth. It's not about achievement. It's not about fame. It's not about possessions. If you have this one thing missing, you are still in a meaningless existence. There was something missing in Solomon's life that he had somehow had lost. He had started out with this thing, but somehow he had lost it. Can you imagine? He was the great king who had dedicated the most beautiful temple the world has ever seen. He had prayed this great prayer. He had come just like the rich man to Jesus, to God. He had come to the temple. And when he had prayed, God's glory came down. Filled the temple, and still with all of this there was something missing. God even spoke to him, just as Jesus spoke to the young man in 2 Chronicles 7:12. We find a very famous verse, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, 2 Chronicles 7:12. I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. What an answer from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This was what was given to Solomon just as Jesus spoke to that young man. And the Bible goes on to say more than that. Jesus looked at him, that young man, and loved him. Jesus is looking at you today, whether you know it or not, and he loves you. But as I've preached before, love is not enough. Because love can only be effective if there's someone on the other end holding on. As I've said so many times, the strength of a chain is not in pushing. Jesus can't push you to him. He can only pull you to him. There was one thing missing. Solomon started out with all of this greatness. He started out being blessed with having wisdom, with asking the right question. But we find at the end of his life, after trying to find pleasure in everything and in indulging himself in everything, something was missing. Something was missing. If we turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 19, he's reminiscing and he's looking at life. And he's a little bit bitter now. He's a little bit jaded. He's a little bit thinking, you know, what is it all about? I've had everything, and yet there seems to be something missing. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. You know how far he's fallen now? He's saying that men are no different from animals. Look at what Solomon is now saying. Even one thing befalleth them, as one dieth, so dieth the others. Yea, they all have one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast. Listen to what Solomon is saying. At the end of his life, he has lost something. There's something missing. He's saying, you know what? We're no different from animals. They die, we die. And then here is the verse that really sets up where Solomon is, the thing that he has lost. He asks this question in verse 21. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upwards, and the spirit of beast that goeth downwards to the earth? It's not really clear in the King James Version what he's saying, but he's questioning whether it is really true that man actually can go up. He's questioning whether there really is going to be a resurrection, because he has lost something. There is something missing. Do you understand how far he had fallen? Just like this young man, his very name, Solomon, means beloved of the Lord. He had every opportunity. He had everything set up for him. David, his father, had paved the way for peace in Israel, had given him wealth, had given peace, had given all the things for the kingdom, and yet there was something missing. I want to show you some opposite characters, though, who, although they did not have that wealth, they had the thing that was missing. And maybe by the end of this message, you will understand what that thing was, because it is so precious. It is more precious than gold. When we look at Abraham, we see a character who had prayed and waited on God for 25 years just to have a son. At 100 years old, God granted him his prayer. Anybody been waiting for an answer from God? Amen. Amen. I don't know if you'll get to be 100 years old, but the Bible says, wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. At an age of him being 100 years old and his wife being 99, God gave him the son that he'd been wanting all of this time. Gave him Isaac. And with the son came a blessing. In Genesis chapter 17 and verse 7, God spoke to him. We notice a pattern here that God speaks to people, but not everyone finds the thing that is missing. Here God is speaking to Abraham in Genesis 17, 7, and he gives him a promise. Has God given you a promise? I tell you what, he's given me a promise. He's given me a promise. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generation, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. God gives Abraham an everlasting promise. He says, an everlasting covenant. Do you know that a promise is established by faith? What I'm trying to say, when God gives you a promise, it is established by your faith. It's not going to be established if you don't believe it. There was one thing missing in this young man. There was one thing that Solomon lost, and there was something that Abraham had, because when God gave him this promise, even though he was 100 years old, you know what the Bible says? He staggered not. He doubted not. He said, Lord, if you say it, I believe it, I receive it. But then came a test. Then came a test. Abraham, I want you to go and take the son that I just gave you, and I want you to sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. I want you to take the thing that is precious to you. I want you to take the thing that is valuable to you. I want you to take the thing that you thought was for there forever, and I want you to give it to me. Remember now, a promise is established upon your faith. The Bible says that Abraham did not even stagger. You know why? He had something that the young man didn't have. He had something that Solomon didn't have. And I'll just tell you what it is. It's faith. You can have all the riches in this world. You can have status. You can have youth. You can have everything going. But if you don't believe, you're not going to make it. If you don't believe, you're not going to make it. You do not need wealth to believe. You do not need youth to believe. You do not need possessions to believe. All you need is faith to believe. That's the thing that was missing. Hebrews 11 verse 17 says, by faith, let's say it together, by faith. Not by his wealth, not by Solomon's wisdom, not by his proverbs, not by his working things out, not by me thinking it out, not by the government, not by your job, not by your family, but it's by faith. You can have all of that other stuff, but if you lack this one thing, you're not going to make it. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried. Anybody been tried? The only way you're going to make it is if you have this one thing. Because it takes faith to get through trials. It takes faith to overcome the devil. It is the shield of faith whereby you'll be able to withstand the fiery darts. When he was tried, God said, give me your son. It's the same as God speaking to that young man and saying, go give away your wealth. It was the thing that was the treasure to him. The thing that was the most valuable to Abraham was his son. It was something he could not have done. It was something he could not replace. God says, give it to me. God is speaking to some of us, and he loves us. But some of us are looking very sorrowful. Lord, I don't know. There may be one thing you're lacking. And it's not what you think it is. It's not money. You think it's money that you're lacking. No, that's not what it is. Because if you have faith, you don't need any of the other stuff. It says how by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac. You know how he was able to do that? Because he had the one thing that mattered. He believed God. God had given him an everlasting covenant. God had told him, through your seed is all the nations going to be blessed. The one thing that Solomon had lost was belief in the resurrection. The one thing that Abraham still believed in, that even though God had taken his son, God could raise him back up. Whatever you give to God, God can give it back to you 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. If you have that one thing, which is to believe God. The rich man looked at his wealth. He looked at his status and he thought, if I lose this, what am I going to do? He didn't realize that keeping the law didn't do it. Being a good husband doesn't do it. It's only through faith can we overcome. If there's one thing that's missing, you can't have that thing missing. You can be missing wealth. You can be unhappy. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to be tried. You're going to go through some temptations. But if you have faith, if you will believe the promises of God, if God has given you a promise, if he has said, I will never leave you, I will not forsake you, I have prayed for you, I love you, I'm going to keep you, you are my child. Don't go away sorrowful. Don't go away sorrowful. Jesus looked at him and said, one thing you lack. What could that be? You know what he was seeking? He was seeking eternal life. He knew, according to the law, that he was going to die. He was looking for the answer, but he could not believe the promise. Hebrews 11, verse 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Abraham just remembered that, God, you have said through my seed, the whole nation, the whole world is going to be blessed. Verse 19 lays it out for you, accounting that God was able. Say, God was able.
God was able.
Now, here's the question. Do you believe it? 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 Because if you don't, that's the thing you're lacking. I'm telling you today, the one thing you're lacking is whether you believe that God is able. Verse 19 says, accounting that God was able to raise him up. Do you see the difference with Solomon? Solomon got to the point where he doubted whether there was any difference between God raising up a man's spirit or an animal spirit. In verse 21 of Ecclesiastes 3, he came to the point where he wasn't sure whether there was any difference. He said, the soul of an animal goes down. Who knows whether the soul of a man will come up? He doubted the promise of God. He doubted whether God could do what he says he's going to do. But Abraham staggered not, accounting that God was able to raise him up. I love that verse that says, exceedingly great and precious promises. I love so many verses, you know that. I always say I got a favorite verse. But unto him that is able to keep us, keep me, keep you from falling. Do you believe that? To present us faultless before the presence of his glory. That should give you some joy. See, this young man was missing one thing. It wasn't so much about wealth, but it was where his treasure was. It wasn't so much about his having wealth, but it was what he was willing to give up, what he was putting as an idol before God. If you have got an idol before God, it means you lack faith. You don't trust God. Amen. I'm speaking to myself too there. I need to have some more faith. There was a man who had a son who the disciples couldn't heal. And Jesus said to him, do you believe I can do this? He says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Some of us are going to have to say that second part. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Because that's the one thing that you must have. The Bible says it is impossible to come to God except you believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God answered a prayer for me this week. Amen. It wasn't for me personally. But it was for a family member. I was praying, and my wife is looking at me. I mean, I can't tell you your story. I can only tell you my story. Amen. I was praying for one of my children, that God would bless them. And you know what I found? If God doesn't answer you right away, you know what you're supposed to do? You just keep praying. Every day, keep praying. Every day, I said the same prayer. Every day, I asked for the same thing. Every day, I just said, Lord, I want you to do this, this, and this. And you know what? Those that diligently, say diligently, you're going to get your prayers answered. So they called me up and said they had been given a fantastic job, amen. So much more than they were making, like a $10 an hour raise. Isn't God good? You see, I have learned how God works with me. And I don't know about you. He may not do it immediately, but you know, I don't give up. I just keep going back. It's like the child that won't give up. Eventually you say, okay, diligently seek him, diligently seek him, because I'm clinging on to every promise. I'm not letting any of them go. You devil can't take any of the promises. I want all of them. I'm going to be greedy when it comes to what God has said, because I don't want to be lacking anything. One thing thou lackest. Imagine, this man was rich, he was young, he had status, he had possessions, he was a leader in the community. And Jesus said, you still lack something. There's something you don't have. You know what it was? I believe it was faith. Because if he'd had faith, he looked at what he had and he thought, I can't give it up. What am I going to do? Can I give this up for God? But Abraham, when God said, give up your son, the Bible said he staggered not. Wow. That's why the Bible says he was justified by faith. That in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able. He believed that God was able, even from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure. I want to give you one more character who was different than Solomon, who was different from the young ruler, and that was Job. See, unlike Solomon, he lost all his wealth. The first day, Satan came after him and took away all of his wealth. Next minute, he lost all his children. His children were all killed. You think that would be bad enough? Then Satan came and took his health. Then, really, in a way, he lost his wife. She wasn't in agreement with him. There wasn't too much more he could lose except his life. But you know, that did not belong to the taker. The Lord said, I'm sorry, Satan, that's the limit. You can't touch his life. You can take everything else because those are not really important. But you can't touch his soul. This is what Job said in Job chapter 19, verse 23. Oh, that my words were now written. I want you to look at the thing that Job did not lose. Because Satan said to God, listen, you've put a hedge around him. That's why he serves you. You put a hedge around. Take away those things. See if he serves you. What Satan didn't know, there was still something that couldn't be taken. There was still a missing thing in the young man that was not missing in Job's life. Now, I want you to listen very carefully in Job 19:23, what Job says. He's not shy about what he's declaring. He says, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. He's about to make a boast. He's about to say, listen, Satan, you took my children, you took my wealth, you took my health, you took my status. But I don't care. There's something you can't take. He's got the thing that's critical. Oh, that my words were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. He's not shy. He's declaring, I stand on this rock and I'm not giving it up. This is what he says. For I know. You got to know this thing. For I know. Do you get it now? He knows the secret that Solomon didn't. For he says, I know. I'm not guessing whether the spirit of man goes up. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he shall stand. He's not using any mealy-mouthed words. I don't know whether the spirit of man goes up and goes down. He says, for I know. He starts out, let my words be written. Let them be printed in a book. I don't care who sees it, who knows it. I know that my Redeemer liveth. For I know that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And even if this body does decay, even after my skin worms destroy this body, yet, in my flesh, you know what he's saying? I'm going to be resurrected. I'm going to come back to life. I don't care what the devil has done. I don't care what, because he's not taking the one thing that is important, and that's your faith. No wonder Jesus said to Peter, you know, the devil wants to sift you as wheat. He's coming to shake you down. He's coming to stress you out. He's coming to take away your joy. He's coming to try and really take away all your peace. But I, Jesus, have prayed for you, Peter. I have prayed for you, Peter, that the one thing that was missing doesn't go. That's your faith. Let's say together, your faith. Hallelujah. That's the thing you cannot let go. No matter what comes, you cannot let it go. You got to do it like Job says, let it be graven in a rock. Take a lead pen, an iron pen, and grave it on a rock. These are the words he said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And even if this dust body dies, he's got a better one. He's got a newer model. A glorified one, a supernatural one. Hallelujah. Yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. Boy, Satan must have just given up, thrown down the towel and run away. What am I going to do to this man? What can I do to this man? Because he's got the one thing that is important. When he was saying that, he had nothing. He was sitting in an ash pile, in a dust heap, with sores on his body, his children all dead, his wealth all gone. His friends must be looking at him as like, you're crazy, man. But he said, listen, you take an iron pen, go write it on a rock. I know the one thing that you cannot have missing is your faith. If you could stand with me today. See, the young man, he had a lot of things. He had the law. He was a good person, but the law is weak. Isn't that what Paul says? Through the flesh, the law is weak. Romans 8:3 says, for what the law could not do, because it was weak through the flesh. God, sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned the sin that we have in the flesh. You see, he thought it was something he could do. No, it's not about what you can do. It's believing what he can do. He said, good man, what can I do? What good thing can I do? There is no good thing I can do. The only thing God has asked us to do is believe. He's saying to us, do you believe? The one thing he lacked was faith. He looked at his riches and thought, it's too much. I can't believe if I lose that. Abraham was going to give up his son, but believed God that he could bring him back from the dead. Solomon, with all his wealth and wisdom, looked at life and said, what is it? What is all this about? It just seems pointless. Everybody in the end dies. And in the end, he was not sure about the resurrection. But Job, in contrast, had lost everything. He said, write it in a book. Better than that, take an iron pen, put it on a rock. Because I'm not moving from this position. I know. When you get to that place where you can say, I know, the promise is being established. Because God's promise is established when you say, you know. Do you get what I'm saying? Are you listening to what I'm saying? If you're missing this thing, you need to get like Job. Get a book. Write it down. He has given us exceeding great and precious promises. Exceeding great and precious promises. Is there something you're not willing to give up that is too much? It means you don't have enough faith yet. Because God can give you back every single thing. More than double. I'm not going to take the time to go down the story, but after the young man left, Jesus then said to his disciples, he said, you know, it's a hard thing for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. It's easier to go through the eye of a needle And then his disciples said, "But Lord, we gave up everything. We left our fish." He said, "Listen, don't worry about it. No one has given up houses, brothers, sisters, family, land, riches, that they shall not receive a hundredfold." You cannot outgive God. You cannot take away from God's plan, but you need to make sure that this thing is not the missing thing. You can have all the rest, wealth, whatever. You can be smart as Solomon and still have the one thing that is missing. Don't let this be the missing thing, but stand upon God's promise that he said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." It doesn't matter anything else in life. There's something that the devil can't take from you if you will hold on to it, and that's your faith. At the end of his life there, Job was sitting in an ashpa with nothing, rags, sick in his body, in pain, lost his whole family, lost his wealth. And yet, listen to what he says. Write it in a book. Better than that, get a steel pen, get a rock, write it down. Here's what I'm about to tell you, devil. Here's what I'm about to declare you, people. I know my Redeemer liveth. And even if I die, I'm going to see him with my eyes, in my flesh. You know why? Because he's going to resurrect me. He's going to bring me back. There's nothing that is too far gone for God to not restore to you. But it depends on whether you are establishing his promise by your faith. Because the promises are established by your faith, by how much you believe. We're going to close this service. The altars are open if you want to pray. I want to tell you, though, even the fact that Jesus loved this young man, just as how he loved Solomon, the very name Solomon means beloved of God, was not enough. Your faith has to establish the promises that God has given you. You must hold on to them at all cost, no matter what. Grave them on a rock. Write them on a piece of paper. Whatever it takes. Don't let Satan steal your faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you could stand with me, we're going to close in prayer. But don't let it be said, "One thing thou lackest." He was probably thinking, what could that be? I've done everything. But his question gave away his intent. What good thing can I do? And that tells you right there is no good thing that we can do except believe in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. Father, we thank you right now for your word, Lord God, that you have spoken to us. Help it, oh God, that there is not one thing lacking. Lord, that we will stand upon your word, upon faith, upon your promises, Lord. Oh God, we ask you right now to fill this place with faith. Lord, as you have prayed for Peter, Lord God, let your grace, oh God, cover our unbelief right now, Jesus, that there will be nothing that we will not give up for you. Father, we come to you in faith, believing, Lord, that you are a healer, that you are a deliverer, that you are our Savior, that you still love us, oh God, and that we shall be victorious. Lord, we thank you right now, Jesus, for victory in your name, for blessing in your name, for deliverance in your name. Hallelujah, church, if you can just pray with me right now.